Acts chapter 1, verse, we'll read 1 through 11 there. We'll read 1 through 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's our theme verse for mission outreach, verse 8. After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, having been on sabbatical over the summer, then starting up my pastoral duties again this week, trying to hit the ground running, you know, one of the most important things you must do is what I talked about with the kids a little earlier. You've got to get your bearings. Question for you: who do you think is the most important person I talk to, besides my wife, to get my bearings this week? Let me help you out. The church secretary. Right. Church secretary. She helped me get my bearings, helped me figure out where I was, if you will, even who I was and what I was expected to do this past week as I got ready for the Lord's Day today. Speaking of getting your bearings, there's a real necessity, I think, in people's lives over these last 10 days since Charlie Kirk was brutally assassinated, a strong necessity for people to get their bearings, to understand in the face of confusion, to turn right side up when all is topsy-turvy, to be assured in the face of fear and uncertainty, a real need in the everyday lives of American people to get their bearings. You see the frantic evidence of that need throughout our country to get our bearings, perhaps most of all on social media. People frantically writing and questioning and searching and asking and pontificating and saying things they might not say face to face with each other, all in attempt to make sense of the world we know right now. We are attempting to get our bearings, to get our bearings when we hear about another school shooting, or about that Ukrainian woman slaughtered on a commuter train, or about three police officers killed at a domestic disturbance, or about, indeed, Charlie Kirk's murder and the fallout since. The need for getting our bearings is part of that fallout. And social media becomes a repository for that fallout that never goes away. Once it's out there, all in a relentless yet mostly hopeless attempt to get our bearings. Because may I suggest to you today, there is a much better outlet and inlet for attempting to get our bearings. The opening verses of Acts are a prime, help me get my bearings set of verses, aren't they? That's what the passage is about, getting our bearings in several ways. And today I hope that you'll look at those ways with me, for I hope you agree, when it comes to getting our bearings, God's book is a better resource than Facebook. And God's cross tells us better things than Elon's X. And God's eternal gram has better content than man's Instagram. So let's get our bearings from God's book. You see it right away as the passage begins. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, is also writing this book, the Acts, official title, the Acts of the Apostles. And immediately he wants whoever's reading his book, specifically a man named Theophilus, but it's everyone else who reads it too. And that's a lot of people, because look at us, 2,000 years later, we're still reading it. Right from the start, Luke wants us to, number one, get our timeline bearings. He's placing the things he's writing about on a chronological timeline of God's history. Hear it? He says, previously, I wrote all about what Jesus began to do and to teach. I wrote about Jesus from day one in that manger, Luke 2, from that point until the day he was taken up to heaven, Luke 24, and everything in between. See it? I wrote about, he says in verse 3 here, the fact that Jesus suffered. It's understood. He's talking about Jesus' death on the cross there. And the reality that Jesus rose from the dead, because Luke tells us Jesus gave us all kinds of convincing proofs that he was alive. So I wrote about the resurrected Jesus. And I even wrote about the 40 days after his resurrection, when he appeared and spoke about the kingdom of God to his disciples and others. And then I even wrote about how he was taken up into heaven and how we all stood around looking up into heaven. All that, Luke says, as he lays out for us the timeline of where we are when we open up the book of Acts. It's as if Luke is saying, as you start reading now my second book, I've got to help you people get your bearings on the chronological timeline of history. And Luke almost imperceptibly moves from what he wrote about earlier in the book of Luke to where they are now in the book of Acts. New information. Remember the two men in white telling us, why are you looking into the sky? Jesus, one and the same, he will return again someday. He doesn't include that detail in his first book, the book of Luke. He saves it for this book, but he's describing the same event, the ascension of Jesus. That's where we are, beloved, right there with them in the chronological timeline. Got your bearings? Jesus was born, grew up, taught, suffered, and died, rose, and now is ascended into heaven. Got your bearings? And Luke even uses Jesus' words here to tell us that in just 10 days or so, a few days down the timeline, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ will baptize them all, give them power. The day of Pentecost is almost there. Got your bearings? These first few paragraphs in Acts help us get our timeline bearings. They also, number two, help us get our identity bearings. You readers, you have to know who you are. In the midst of a world dripping with sin blood, with violence and hatred, bitterness and brutality, cruelty and murder, in a world dripping with sin blood, you need to know that you are saved by the precious blood of Jesus. You readers, that's your identity. You have a new identity in Jesus Christ. The moment you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave you that new identity. Get your bearings. That suffering I mentioned, verse 3, that's the suffering Jesus endured for you. It led to his death on the cross, where he paid for all your sins. Every last one. You are justified just as if you had never sinned now. That's your new identity. You shine with the identity of Jesus Christ in your hearts. His blood shed made your hearts clean. That's your identity. You believe in that same Jesus, right? This same Jesus that presented proofs that he was raised from the dead, church. You believe in this same Jesus, right? Well, then you have a new identity. Sinner, yes, but sinner saved by the blood of Christ. And sinner, yes, but sinner knowing that Jesus is preparing a place in a new heaven and a new earth. That's your new identity. With gratitude to God, your sins are forgiven, they're paid for, and with hope you anticipate the glory of heaven that will be beyond anything you could ever imagine. Get your bearings back. This is who you are, church. Your identity in Christ, beloved church, that you are in Christ, that he is in you. When you see the horror, listen, when you see the horror of sin in your own life, and indeed it is a horror, yours and mine, you still have hope. Luke wrote to Theophilus, to us, to help us get our bearings by showing us our new identities, the new identities of all who believe in Jesus Christ and what he has done. These first few paragraphs in Acts help us get our identity bearings. They also, number three, help us get our sovereignty bearings. Did you hear, Luke? He reminds us again and again in these 11 verses that who we're dealing with is not only the one who came to this earth to suffer. He's not only the one who died on the cross. He's not only the one even who rose from the dead, as incredible as that is. No, he is more. He is Lord. He is King. He is sovereign. Who else could be taken up into heaven? Verse 2. Who else could speak about the kingdom of God? Verse 3. Who else could command the disciples? Verse 4. Who else could restore the kingdom to Israel? Verse 6. Who else could have inside intel about the Father in heaven? Verse 7. Who else could say that what was going to happen soon about witnessing? Verse 8. Who else could be taken up before their very eyes with a cloud eventually hiding him from their sight? Verse 9. And who else could send angelic companions to stand before them and explain things to them? Verse 10. And who else could not only be taken up into heaven, but come back in the same way you saw him leave? Verse 11. Only the sovereign Lord and King Jesus. Get your bearings now. This is the one we are dealing with here. The sovereign Lord, Jesus Christ, who has infinite authority and power over all things, who sits at his Father's right hand and reigns there for the church. In the wake of Charlie Kirk's horrific murder, the church, you and I, must regain our bearings and recognize anew the sovereignty of our Savior and Lord Jesus. For it's Jesus the sovereign, even when horrific sin is acted out like 10 days ago. It's Jesus the sovereign who we know that despite the devil fighting this losing battle against God and horrifying us by inciting people to commit heinous acts against God's kingdom, the sins of those who hate God, putting those sins on full display, it's this Jesus, our sovereign, who will one day eradicate every last evil, every last wickedness, even every last shred or vestige of sin. It will all be destroyed. And the instigator of all of it and all those who follow that deceiver will be thrown into a lake of burning sulfur. Get your bearings. Keep your bearings. Stay strong and secure, knowing that this sovereign King Jesus is reigning in heaven right now on this day and every day for you, no matter what horror comes our way. These first few paragraphs in Acts help us get our sovereignty bearings. And finally, they help us get our, number four, our witness bearings. For that's in those opening verses too, isn't it? Verse 4, wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. Verse 5, for John baptized with water. In a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Get your bearings yet? You got them? Your witness bearings? Luke isn't so sure, so he clarifies it in verse 8. He reminds them that Jesus told them, you, and that's just not those folks 2,000 years ago, it's all Luke's readers, you, Jesus said, as he was about to ascend into heaven as king, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. And how do we know that Jesus was thinking of us 2,000 years later? Because he adds verse 8, you will be my witnesses also to the ends of the earth. He's telling them, he's telling us, get your bearings, your witness bearings. I love the word picture Luke paints in verses 10 and 11, don't you? They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly the men in white showed up. You wonder how long they'd have kept looking. Were it not for those two men, those two messengers, these angels, tell them, men of Galilee, get your bearings. They may as well have said that. What they said means the same thing. Why do you stand here looking up into the sky? Get your bearings. He's coming back, but until then, there's work to be done. Get your bearings. You're a witness. That's what everyone who believes in this Lord Jesus, for he gave them new identities. That's what everyone is who believes in the Lord Jesus. He's the one they bear witness to in their lives now. Get your bearings, your witness bearings. Now, what does that mean? This final get your bearings encouragement, the one about witnessing. What does that mean? Well, mission outreach theme this year is a light for the nations. That sounds good, right? Picks up on Jesus being the light of the world and how you don't hide the light under a bowl. Nice metaphor there. A light for the nations. We're supposed to be lights for the nations. For the nations. Wow, that gets a little tricky. People like the late Billy Graham and missionaries and, yeah, anyone with a large audience of people listening to them, even someone like Charlie Kirk, who shared his faith on so many college campuses, pointing people to Christ, but also pointing out the great lie that is sin in our lives. And that's ultimately why he was so polarizing. No one likes to be told about their own sins. People get upset when they're confronted with the truth of God's word. We forget that sometimes because most of us Christians, well, yeah, we're on board with what God says in his word. And while we don't necessarily like it when someone points out the sin in our own lives or even when God's word itself rebukes us as we read it, we don't necessarily like that, but we've got these new identities. Those I'm trying to kill off the old self and the old sins, trying to fight against the devil's lies. So while it might hurt a little sometimes, my new identity in Christ has helped me get my bearings for that sort of thing. When there's sin in my life, I know what I must do. I must confess my sin to God and repent of it, turn from it, even when it's hard to do. But I don't like having it pointed out to me. If it's hard for followers of Christ, people who have gotten their bearings by having a new faith relationship with Christ, a Christ-following identity, if it's hard for new identity people like us to hear about how sin can really mess us up, think about how much harder it is for someone without a new identity when they are confronted with the reality of sin in their lives. And that's what leads people to do even those horrific things like take someone else's life. It's horrific, but we shouldn't be all that surprised by it. So what might be a way for me and you to be a light for the nations or our nation? What might be a way for me to get my bearings, including my witness bearing? Three ways, quickly. First one is, after you blessing me by giving me this sabbatical on prayer, I'm convinced that the first way is absolutely the most important for getting my bearings when it comes to witness, and that is to pray. Church, I know you know that, but I also know that so many of us, including me, have such a hard time wasting precious time resources by having a screen in front of us. In front of me, in front of you. Charlie Kirk's assassination. What was the first thing I wanted to do when I heard about it? I wanted to see what happened. I wanted to get the report about what happened, hear it a few times. You know what the second thing I wanted to do was? I wanted to hear or read online on social media what others were saying about it. And I'll tell you, time moves so quickly when you're doing those two things. Personal experience. You turn on the TV at 5 p.m. and all of a sudden it's 6. You check your social media pages at 9 p.m., suddenly it's 11:30. And you may be only reading or maybe contributing to it during those 2.5 hours, and that time goes by like that. I know you know this. I know it. A few years ago, my wife wrote an article, I may have told you this, for some CRCNA publication and based it off what she does with her students, first grade students. When a first grader comes in crying because someone was unkind to them during recess or they get stung by a bee, she entitled the article, Stop, Drop, and Pray. Stop, Drop, and Pray. She stops everything else, gets down on her knees to the child's short height, and they pray together. I am trying to make tragedies and other things follow that same directive. Find out something happened and immediately enter the presence of God and speak to Him about it. And spend the time I would have spent spinning my own wheels, accomplishing little to nothing, certainly not being a light to the nations, and instead spend it with the Father, with the Lord Jesus, praying over it, bringing it before Him, and letting Him accomplish much. Because that's what the sovereign can and does do. He accomplishes much. Getting my witness bearings begins right there on my knees. Second way to get your witness bearings, give. Financially give. We support our missionaries financially, don't we? These days, our denomination, the Christian Reformed Church, because of its financial situation right now, do you know how much church planters in the States must raise for their ministry? 100% of their funds must be raised by the church planter. Missionaries overseas, 90%. 10% is covered by Resonate, the mission arm of the CRC. So the Essenbergs, part of their ministry work is to plead with individual churches and other donors to support 90% of their ministry. But get your bearings. You know how kingdom multiplication works. I think you do. I do. God takes small amounts that even little children send to their missionaries. A dollar here, $10 there. Miraculously, God blesses small amounts into large, huge amounts. You know God does this. So small amount, medium amount, large amount are mission outreach monthly offerings, and extra ones are so important. Giving financially to missions is a way to get our witness bearings, is a way for us to give light, Jesus' light, to the nations. And third, and remember, even as our country tries to get its bearings in the wake of such violence these days, you might think, well, how can I be a light for the nations? I don't have an audience of thousands. I can't witness to hundreds. Get your bearings. When you read that verse, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be Christ's witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. How can I witness to the ends of the earth? Impossible, we might think. No, get your bearings, your witness bearings. When you read the words to the ends of the earth in verse 8, get your bearings, the ends of the earth. Your workplace is the ends of the earth. Your home is the ends of the earth. Your classroom is the ends of the earth. The people with whom you come into contact every day are the ends of the earth. That's our ends of the earth. Remembering that is how we get our witness bearings. Oh, but all this violence and Charlie Kirk's assassination and school shootings and the culture war going on for the heart and soul of America. How can I do anything to fix all that? That massive thing is not your job. God will take care of that, is taking care of that, and has taken care of that. When you've gotten your bearings, you touch the lives of the people every day with whom you come into contact. You bless their lives with a smile, with a God bless you, with a, hey, let me tell you about Jesus, with an invitation to a boy in your class, to cadets, or a girl, to GEMS. You bless their lives with compassion and love and care and integrity and truth and grace. You do and say the smallest things, and God takes those things, and they ripple into huge things. The Essenbergs. Todd told the story, spoke of the girl, it was a girl actually, that they witnessed to in school who was baptized. And look what God did. 17 years later, her father confessed his sins and joined the church, followed Christ. Who saw that happen? Was anyone else blessed by that? Did God use that to change someone else's life for him? Probably. Most of the things God will do through your small actions, your scared words, you may never see, but God will do it. Right where you are every day is the ends of the earth. And we are called to witness for Christ there. Winning some sort of online debate about the things going on in our country, seldom will you find any traction whatsoever. But touching the life of someone at Meijer or Family Fair with kindness, God can produce a ripple effect that is staggering, because God is in charge of his kingdom. Beloved church, it's time to get our bearings. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you. We praise you for your word, which shows us right where we are when we read it, and shows us who we are, and shows us that you're in charge, and shows us what our responsibility to you is so clearly. Thank you for your word this morning, and we pray that we would get our bearings so we can be witness bearers for Jesus wherever we are, small though that witness bearing may be. We know because of who you are you can cause huge ripples from our small witness bearing. Help us get our bearings, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.